Today's subject is on something that will ruin your life. It's on something that will ruin your future. It will ruin your children's lives. In fact, this thing is so awful, it'll kill you. And I give it that introduction because you could probably fill a lot of things in there. I give it that introduction because the subject is so surprising that it has that description to it. Because today's subject is love. You got to be kidding me. How can love ruin you? How can love kill you? In fact, it's worse than that. It's more surprising than that. It's not just love. It's agape love. Agape love can kill you. Let me show you. You don't have to turn to Colossians 4. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 4 in just a second. But in Colossians 4, we're given an introduction to a group of people. Colossians 4:10 and following down through the end of the writing there in 18. And Paul gives us a beautiful list of people. Aristarchus, Barnabas' cousin Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Nympha, Archippus, etc. These are dear people to him that have a significant play in his life, who are working with him, fellow prisoners with him, encouragement to him. They're thoughts and people that he prays about. They're people who are praying with him. And in the middle of that list, right after Luke is described, the beloved physician, Luke, the beloved physician, in verse 14, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Demas, Paul's companion and help and encouragement in his work. Well, in 2 Timothy 4, which is where I asked you to turn, Paul is writing to Timothy, and these are, to us, the last words of Paul's life. These are the last words of Paul's life, not literally, because he lived days, months, whatever after this, but they're the last words that we get to read. 2 Timothy, he's been arrested again. This is after the end of Acts. This is after his shipwreck and being taken to Rome. This is after he had a rented house in Rome. He got released again, and then they arrested him again. And you can read it between the lines of 2 Timothy 4 and feel how harsh his treatment is, how deadly this arrest is, how much this wears on him, how much in pain he is. Read with me in 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 9. To Timothy, he's writing, "Make every effort to come to me soon." Make every effort to come to me soon. You've heard people ask you to do that. They don't say it the way Paul said it. They say, "Could you please come? I need you. Can we talk? I really need to talk to somebody. We're not doing well over here, and we need some help. Could you come? Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you. He's useful to me for service. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas and with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm." And then it goes on. Paul's anguish is palpable in the way he writes these. He's in pain. And the first thing he lists in his situation, why he needs Timothy, is because Demas has left him. Remember Demas? He wrote about him. He was in his list of beloved ones. He was in his list of companions back in Colossians 4. But now Demas fell in love. Demas used agape in the wrong direction, and it's killing him. It's killing Paul too, but only in heart and emotion. It's killing Demas in eternity. I love the verse in 3 John. We get a magazine that takes its title from this verse. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy in this. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now, John is talking more figuratively or spiritually than physically. We don't know about John's physical children, but we do know about who he called little children, his spiritual children. It was the church. It was his brothers and sisters. But the same thing applies to your own family, of course. The same thing applies to your physical children. There is no greater joy in life than to know your children are walking in the Lord. There's no greater pain in life than to know your children have fallen in love with the world and have left the Lord. Love can kill you. Love can kill you. Let's look at the description of that in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children. I think we just made that point, didn't we? 1 John 2:12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him. Is he saying the same thing over again? He's saying the same thing over again. A parent knows what this is like. There are parents in here, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever had to repeat yourself? No. Your children heard you the first time, didn't they? And when you learn that your children haven't heard you the first time, you learn to say, excuse me, are you listening? Look at me. Hang on. Listen. Okay. Now listen to what I say and then say it back to me. Right? Okay. What I want you to do is clean your room, and then I need the living room vacuumed, and then take out the trash. All right. Now what are you supposed to do today? What? What did you say? Let's try this again. Clean your room, vacuum the living room, take out the trash. Clean my room and something else. John is getting our attention, and he repeatedly, dads, men, he's repeatedly calling to us. I'm writing to you, fathers. I'm writing to you, young men. Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Young men, because you are strong. And the word of God lives in you or abides in you. I like lives. Abides sounds distant. Lives sounds really close, and I got that word. Anyway, abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. A young man walking in faith and walking in the Lord and knowing his word is a pillar of strength. And John is enjoying that, saying, young men, I've written to you because you're strong. You've got the word. And you've defeated Satan. What a call to young men. What a great call of strength. Rick, thank you. Thank you for your songs. But thank you for that awakened request of us. Men, are you bored? Wake up. We've got, it might be the speaker. I don't know. We've got a calling in Christ. That's why I try to keep myself out of the way. because I could be boring. I could be wrong. I've been wrong. I'll be wrong again when I say a sentence or two. I get mixed up. I don't organize my thoughts sometimes very well. But the Lord's word is perfect and powerful and effective. It'll change your life. And this is where our learning has to be. But what a great calling to young men. What a great calling to fathers. Okay? Now, he says all of that. That wake up. Guys, I'm writing to you. And then he says in verse 15, do not love the world. You men who are walking in the Lord, you men who are effective with the word, you men who are using Christ to defeat Satan in your life and in the life of men and women around you, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and this is his explanation or his definition, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. It's sort of like being in an airport. We have two planes we can get on. You can get on the plane titled World. And oh, by the way, it's going to crash, okay? The pilot doesn't know where he's going, and he's doomed anyway. And the plane is going to crash. This one won't last. It's unsafe. It's going to kill you, all right? That's that plane. Now, this plane is called the Lord. It's powered by God himself, and the engine is the Word of God, okay? You can choose. This one lasts forever. This one is filled with joy and purpose and eternity. You can choose to get on either plane. And the shocking thing is the line getting on the plane over here goes out the door and around the block and down the street. Because the enticement of that plane is the enticement we trip over all the time. It's going to crash. I guarantee you it's going to crash. It's going to kill you. But it's so much fun. It's so enjoyable. See, because it gives me, my love of the world gives me what I want right now. Actually, not me personally, because I've had to beat my head against that wall enough times that I found out it hurts. And so I'm learning to kill that side of my desires. The three things it lists are the lust of the flesh, my comfort. I want to be comfortable, and I'm putting my comfort at a real high priority. I put my comfort at a real high priority, and I say, cut it out. You don't deserve to be that comfortable, Robert. You have work to do, but it's cold out, or I'm tired, or I'm hungry, or I want more ice cream, or whatever it is. And then there's the lust of the eyes, my desires, that which I want to spend time with and to focus on. So my comfort, my desires, and the third one is the pride of life, my accomplishments or kind of a focus on me, sort of a nepotism. I want things to revolve around me. Look at me or pay attention to me. The pride of life, either that which you've accomplished or that which you focus on accomplishing or prizing. My comfort, my desires, my life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It'll kill you. It will completely kill you. And that word throughout there is based on the word agape. But I thought agape was, hang on. You see, it's serving love. It's sacrificial love. And you can choose. We're given two things to love. Obviously, you can include the Word and some other things there. But we're given two things to love by Christ: God and others. If your love doesn't revolve around God and others, take it out to the back, beat it senseless. Get rid of it. Because it's the love of all those other things that's going to kill you. It's the love of all that other stuff. And so we can sacrificially serve. This is how agape fits in here. We can sacrificially serve God. We can sacrificially serve others. Or we can sacrificially serve all of this pleasure stuff out here. And don't tell me people don't sacrifice to serve it, because they work hard to earn money to spend on it. And they stay up late to keep doing it. Movie watching and video games that go on infinitum. They sacrifice hard and long to be able to participate in all of this me stuff. So yeah, it is a sacrificial love. It's just pointed totally in the wrong direction. You see, it's all childish. All that me, me, me stuff is childish. A little one doesn't know any better, a little bitty one. A little bitty one says, I'm hungry, I'm tired, and let you know it, right? A toddler is totally self-focused, and they're just beginning to understand, you know, there are other people around here, but I want everybody to pay attention to me, right? And you're trying to teach them, wait a second, honey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you get up to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they're still self-focused. And this is when you say, excuse me, you sit down and wait. They're still self-focused. They still can't get the idea out of their head that everybody ought to stop and listen to their story. Everybody ought to stop and pay attention to their need. But I'm hungry. I understand. Everybody's hungry. Just wait. But I'm tired. Yep, you're right. We're all tired. No, I'm talking about me. I'm tired. It's childish. It's when we grow up and understand that revolving things around ourselves is self-destructive, not helpful. It's the center part of our parenting, to teach our children not to revolve life around themselves, because it builds love of the world, not to feed their own desires. And I hadn't planned on mentioning this right now, but this is a perfect place to mention our children running downstairs to get first in line at lunch. Starting with children whose name sounds a lot like Kenning. I hate rules, extra rules. I wouldn't want to make a rule that says, you may only go through line with your parents, you know, and we'll have a line monitor. You know, put Milrod at the front of the line and check. Parent? No, go find your parents. Well, we don't want to make rules. That gets ridiculous. But we do want principles. We do want children with hearts. We do want children that pay attention, and that running to the front of the line is upside down from what Christ told us to do. It's backwards. Christ says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The one who serves all is in the best position. And we need to teach them that when they're little, all the way up. The world will give us me stuff in buckets full. It'll fill your me bucket, whether it's the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. It'll keep delivering that to you in greater quantities than you can even consume it. You can find it in any flavor you want, just like the ice cream. Do you remember when you had to look around to find chocolate ice cream? I'm getting old. I don't know. You could find vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry in most stores, but not in every store. But beyond that, anyway, you can get whatever you want in buckets full in your love of the world. Finances, the world of finances, the world of commerce, the world of education, the world of entertainment will deliver to you all that love, all you want, it comes, and this is just a quick warning, and we don't have time to go into all the scriptures, but it comes with the spending of time. How do you know where your love is? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. When you start spending your time on something, your focus and your training and your learning get there. So time equals focus. Focus and time equals treasure. I really like this thing, and I'm going to spend time on it. When you've got treasure, guess what Jesus says follows right behind? Your heart. You spend time on something, you focus on something, your heart follows there. Doesn't matter what it is. You put focus and treasure into something, that's where your heart's going to be. Your heart, in Scripture, is your priority. What's important to you? Who are you really? And that becomes your love. Priority becomes love. And love becomes your life. It's where addictions come from. That's where Christ-destroyed marriages come from. It comes from spending time and focus and treasure and heart and priority in the wrong things, going in the wrong directions. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6 so that we can wrap up here. There's so much more to say here. The entertainment world out there will deliver it to you in more horrible ways than you can possibly imagine. At least in commerce and finances and other things, they try to balance the books. In many parts of education, they just want to get the new idea. They just want to shock people with new and more egregious ideas. And same with in entertainment. Some producers down in Hollywood actually want to make money at the end of the year, but some love financing directors and TV makers that just are out there to push the envelope, just to shock people more. And when they put out a new horrible, nasty, vile film or television show, you know what they always say? Well, it's not the worst thing around. It's no worse than, and they name some other horrible, egregious, vile thing. They just build on each other to see who can be as bad as the other. Very few will say, is this to the benefit of my audience? Will this build up people? Will this help families? Will this give folks a moral perspective on how to walk and live? They just want to shock you. They just want to challenge you in the most evil ways. And people run after it, which is why you have to filter and check and triple check. I mean, there probably aren't 2-3 movies a year worth paying for at the local theaters. By the way, parents, screenit.com. Screenit.com. It's not a religious site. It's not a Christian site. As in, it just tells you everything in the movie. All the words, whether you want to know about them or not. And you better know about them before your children hear them. All the scenes. All the violence. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6. Paul lays out, Isaac read this for us, Paul lays out his own struggle. And he lays out his struggle in contrast to people running after the world, running after relationships that are killing them. In much endurance, in afflictions, this is verse 4, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Now verse 6, 2 Corinthians 6, 6. In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true. Unknown, yet well known. As dying, behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Have nothing, having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. You're not restrained by us, but you're restrained in your own affections. Now in a like exchange, I speak as to children. Open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light? And you're light. You guys are light. What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you and will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That last part comes from Isaiah 52. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, Isaiah tells the Israelites. Go out of their midst, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, the God of Israel will be your rear guard. That's Isaiah 52, 11 and 12. Can you imagine God being our guard as we go down the road of life? Stay away. Don't touch. Keep yourself clear of that stuff. Don't create relationships between you and the world that'll kill you. Don't fall in love with the stuff of the world. Don't fall in love with the ideas of the world. Don't tie yourself into the relationships of the world. This is one of the clearest places and warnings in Scripture as to why not to date or marry somebody who isn't walking in Christ. Don't start a relationship that has an emotional bond to it with somebody who isn't in love with God. They're going to, like you might be at the time, stuck in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They're going to be there. They're going to be about me. They're going to be pushing the things that are me things. You're not making me happy. I don't like this relationship now, therefore I'm leaving you. You don't do, it's me stuff. It's not God-centered stuff. And it'll kill you. It'll kill you. Just real quickly in the marriage aspect. This is a study done with 143 different relationships over 20 years of time back in the 70s. Covering Christians who married Christians, Christians who married non-Christians, and where they went. 92 of the Christians who married non-Christians, 92%, excuse me, of the Christians who married Christians, Christians who married one another, 92% remained faithful in their walk in Christ. Almost an equal number of Christians they evaluated marrying those outside the faith, 27% remained faithful. 92% versus less than 30%. Divorce, 3% Christians marrying Christians in this study divorced over those 20-year times. 33% divorced marrying outside the faith. Don't bind yourself with those outside of Christ. Don't bind yourself with things, with ideas outside of Christ. Don't bind yourself with life outside of Christ. God has plenty for us to do. He has joy immeasurable for us down the road. Love indeed will kill you if it's pushed, put in the wrong direction. Don't love the world or anything in the world. If you find yourself in love with things of the world, rebuke it. Repent of it, rebuke it. Repenting is changing your mind, which means looking at it and saying, you know what? This has a hold on me that it shouldn't have. This has its clutches in me that it shouldn't have. I want Christ and Him only to be my God. I want God and Him only to be my goal. And you push away those things that were comfortable, those things that you really like. It's stuff you like, okay? This is not a kindergarten lesson. This is stuff you want to do and you want to be with and you want to spend time with, but you have to push it away and say, not that, not that. If any of it is good, God will give it back to you. Okay? You don't have to worry about that. Your Heavenly Father is powerful and He loves you more than you do. If anything you're pushing away is good, there is good education. There is good entertainment. There are good finances. There are plenty in the Bible about godly finances. There is good sales and commerce. There are good jobs. There are wonderful, obviously, their marriage is good. Marriage is godly. He made the thing. If you're pushing anything away that's good, He'll give it back to you in the right way, at the right time, with the right person and the right idea. What a walk we have in Christ. What a joy it is to have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much. But we have to listen to Him. We have to pay attention to His details. And we have to pay attention when He warns us about things. Fathers, young men, we have a job to do. We have to be guides. We have to be alert. We have to be showing people where the world is and where it isn't. Young men, if you're going to be in a relationship with a young woman, you make sure you create boundaries that you never cross. For example, don't ever go into a home or an apartment or to a place alone with that woman. You see, you're a protector of her. The first thing you ought to learn about your life is you are a protector. And the first person you need to protect that young lady from is you. So don't cross those boundaries. Don't ever go someplace alone. And I don't mean a restaurant. I'm talking about someplace where you are alone. It's too easy to fall and trip up. Don't love the world or the things of the world. God gives us Himself personally to love. And He lays Himself out perfectly in Jesus Christ. God is so awesome. He is so desirable. We need to train our desires. We need to set our focus. But let's focus on Him and build our relationship in Him and fall in love again with Him, that our life can be that life of strength and confidence that we just read about. If there's any this morning who need to start that walk, start that life, want to be baptized into Christ and reunited with their Heavenly Father, let's do that now. If any have any other need that we can help with, let us know about that now. Whatever your need is, please come forward while we stand and sing.